This is The Sun on the Strip, and I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer of the Las Vegas Sun, here to get you caught up on all the news and fun this week from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. The 50th annual World Series of Poker opens this week, and The Sun sports writer and poker expert Case Kiefer is going to join me to lay it all out for you. But before we get there, let's follow up on a Strip transportation development we discussed on the show back in March. Last week, actually the day after I recorded a previous episode of The Sun on the Strip, the Las Vegas Convention and Visitor Authority's Board of Directors approved a $48.7 million contract with Elon Musk's Boring Company to design and construct an underground people mover for the Las Vegas Convention Center. It's part of the current expansion of the facility that will span 200 acres when completed just in time for the annual CES convention in January 2021. So if you visit Las Vegas for your convention and you were to walk the distance of this new expanded convention center, it would be more than a mile and a half. I'm talking about the new area, the former Riviera site just off Las Vegas Boulevard at Elvis Presley Boulevard, all the way east past Paradise Road to the tip of the South Hall of the Convention Center. So essentially Desert Inn Road at Swenson Street. That kind of triangular shaped area will be ostensibly covered by the Boring Company's system of underground express tunnels and autonomous electric vehicles. The other parts of the system outlined in the LVCVA contract are elevators and escalators for passenger access, pedestrian entrances and exits with coverings and landscaping, tunnel lighting power, video surveillance, a control room, and cell phone, Wi-Fi, PA, remote data, and safety systems. The loop will be designed for a ridership of at least 4,400 passengers per hour and is scalable depending on the attendance at the convention center. Those vehicles, I guess, can fit up to 16 people at a time. It's pretty amazing. So as the convention center gets bigger and fancier, it will have a big fancy way to move all those business travelers around the facility in a much more convenient fashion, which is clearly really important if Las Vegas is going to maintain itself as the top convention destination across the country. Construction for this project should be up and running by Labor Day, and it's set to be completed just like the convention center expansion in early 2021. Okay, let's move over and talk poker now. More than 100,000 competitors from more than 100 different countries are on their way to Vegas or already here to play for their share of more than $200 million at the World Series of Poker this year. It officially begins on Wednesday at the Rio, just off the Strip. Las Vegas Sun assistant sports editor Case Kiefer has been covering this event for years and knows so much more about it and about poker in general than I will ever know. Case, thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You know, I always feel like I have a really cool job, and I do, but your sports beat is so, like, wide and all-encompassing. Like, you cover high school sports, and you cover poker, and you cover the NFL. It must be crazy to bounce between, especially now when we have so many different kinds of sports in Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of stuck. When I first came here, I was doing a little bit of everything, and obviously we don't have a gigantic sports staff, so we all kind of dip our toe in a little bit of everything. I think it helps keep everything fresh. I'm sure a lot with like what you do. You don't get too burnt out on any one thing, and kind of get to keep up a little bit on everything. But I will say poker was kind of one of the originals. No one else was doing it when I got here. So this will be, I think, my 11th World Series of Poker. So it's been a lot. It's one of those things I've kept consistent. I get heavily into a lot of the more Vegas centric beats. Mm-hmm. Between sports betting is probably my biggest thing that I actually write about at this point, and then poker in the summer. So, yeah, looking forward to it. It'll be a nice change of pace once I get out there, more towards the end of the series, but there's some highlights here in the opening weeks as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is the 50th anniversary of the World Series of Poker. Does that make this year's event bigger automatically? Is there a brighter spotlight on it this year than in years past?
I think maybe not automatically, but I think that the World Series of Poker brass really made it their focus going into this summer that they were going to play up this 50 thing big. They want to do a lot of special things just for this, and because of their efforts and because they made that something they wanted to do. I think this is going to be the biggest overall series ever. They just added a bunch of new events. On Friday, they're having the Big 50, which is kind of the first celebration of 50, where there's no rake. Everyone that can get in the tournament for $500 a piece, all the money goes straight into the prize pool. Later in the summer, they're having some more special 50th anniversary things. I think they're having a tournament where you can only play if you've previously won a bracelet, which a bracelet, for those who might not know poker all that well, that's what you get if you win a tournament. So I think they've awarded something like 13 or 1,400 different players now in the 50 years. So only bracelet winners in those. So there's a lot of us of smaller, as far as prestige events like that, that they've put together to honor the 50th year. And I think that's going to make the prize pools explode, and it's going to make the Rio all the more crowded and exciting to be at this summer.
Yeah, that Big 50, a $500 buy-in is pretty unusual for an event for kind of anything this scale, right?
Yeah, I mean, for years, I wasn't around at this point. I think when I came, the smallest buy-in was $1,500, and it had been set for a long time. And I'm told even that was controversial when that first was proposed in the early 2000s. You know, this was really an event that originated mostly for the poker pros, for the guy that's gambling for a living, and the buy-ins kind of reflected that. They were more in the 5,000 range was the smallest for a while. Then it got to 1,500. People started to accept that. Well, you know, a few years ago, the World Series of Poker had what I think, especially looking back now, was a brilliant idea. That's like, you know, why don't we get more people involved in this and make these bracelet events at a price point that, you know, could be more conducive to drawing amateurs. They first came up with the Colossus, I believe, in 2015, 4 years ago. It was $550 buy-in, which was the smallest ever at the time. It got a record number of players, I think somewhere around 23,000. I was one of them, the only event I've ever played. So that kind of started this. They saw how well that did. They started adding more and more, and now this year it's just exploded. There's several events for $1,000 or less, starting all with this Big 50. I believe the Colossus this year, they've kind of reformed. It's going to be even smaller. It's going to be $400. Therefore, it's not competing with the Big 50. So I think, I mean, it's just some of the guys more steeped in the past and still, you know, into that part might not like all these small buy-in events, but I think you can't deny that it's changed the face of the World Series of Poker this last half decade.
Are you going to get back in this year, $400?
That one's possible, maybe, at the end of June. I know I had been getting a lot of pressure. I'd met with some of the World Series of Poker guys for some stories we're doing there, saying, oh, you got to get in the Big 50. You got to get in the Big 50, which I would like to, but I had some plans this weekend, so I'm not going to be able to make it for the Big 50. That would be the one, I think, that if you're a guy like me, you'd want to get in the most, $500, no rake. And I cashed in the first Colossus, so I also don't want to ruin my one-for-one in the World Series of Poker that's record.
That's right. Has the buzz around the World Series of Poker kind of fluctuated, gone up and down over the years as the game's popularity has changed and kind of the perception of poker? Because there was, you know, years ago, there was this huge boom and it was on. It seemed like there was a TV channel that was completely dedicated to watching guys play poker. And that cooled off, as all things do. But has this event seen that same kind of up and down, you think?
It's really kind of a tricky question because you look just straight at the numbers and it's just been up and up and up. But I think certainly it seems like nothing's ever going to match that stretch in the, you know, mid-2000s where after Chris Moneymaker won and more people were playing online poker and the event, the main event specifically, just exploded. It seems like there's not quite that level anymore, but I think that one thing that might be undervalued before you jump to that conclusion is just since then poker's really expanded so much globally. I feel like there's a lot more people, international players that are coming into town to play. I mean, it's huge in Europe now and just, you know, all kinds of countries. I think I have the number in front of me, 104 different countries were represented at the 2018 World Series of Poker. So I think that's, you know, even we look back to the boom years, I don't think you had that kind of representation. So I think that's kind of balanced it out. So there's really not one right answer. I think you have evidence to support either way you want to go with it. Mm-hmm.
But the event itself seems like it continues to grow. And as you mentioned before, it's a really big deal for the Rio too. It's one of the, first of all, it's one of the only events that like takes over an entire property. You know, sometimes conventions can have that effect on the Strip. But that's only for a few days or like a week. This thing just keeps on going and going and really overwhelms the entire property in a good way.
Yeah, yeah. 6 to 8 weeks, so pretty long convention, I guess, for poker standards. It really is. I feel like it's what the Rio has become synonymous now. That and rumors of its status. I feel like those are the only two things I ever hear anyone talk about the Rio about. And I think that it's a space that has served them extremely well. I mean, it really seems set up to hold something like this. I mean, we go back, we were just talking about the boom years, 2003, when Chris Moneymaker won. It was still at Binion's, and by all accounts, it just totally outgrown that space. I mean, there was no room to move. And I mean, that was when we were still only talking about, you know, a few hundred people in it. Now with thousands, I think they needed something like the Rio. And I think that, I mean, Harrah's immediately, once they purchased the World Series of Poker in 2004, or whenever that was, they put it at Rio. And I think that it's just been a perfect home for it.
Yeah, and that's been, you know, the Rio is one of those casino properties that's always kind of rumored, like maybe there's going to be a change in ownership, that Caesars Entertainment would let it go to somebody else. But like that, the World Series of Poker is one of the biggest assets that property has. So that would definitely play into such a deal if that were to take place. So the World Series of Poker really gets rolling this weekend when the Big 50 kicks off and runs until July 16th.
Sounds right.
And you will be there covering it for the Las Vegas Sun.
I will be there, especially at the end. The main event, I think, is the other big bullet point that you got to mention. It starts on July 2nd this year. That's the one you are still going to see on TV. I think it's, at this point, the only one ESPN actually airs. It's still considered the World Championship of Poker. Last year was the second biggest field in history. John Sin, high stakes player, really great player, won $8.8 million, and I would expect the first place prize to be somewhere in that same ballpark. That's still the one that is the most glamorous. That's the one that's going to get all the cameras and spectators and everything else. So July 2nd, that's the big day it's actually July 3rd, I'm sorry. July 2nd is the Limit Hold'em Championship. No Limit Hold'em is what's considered the World Championship. So July 3rd, and it lasts 10 days, the main event. I think that's when you'll be seeing me out there almost every day.
That's a big win. I mean, I'll take $500 for a million is good, too. I would take that. That works.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I thought it was funny the year I played, I'm talking about on the Colossus. The reason why they have $1 million guaranteed now partly is because the Colossus, everyone thought the first place prize was going to be around $1 million, and they made the payout structure more flat. And it was only like $600,000. And there was like a groan in the room when they announced the $600,000. It was a big controversy. So it's hilarious. The kind of controversies. I don't think if I would have ended up winning, I think I would have been fine with the $600,000.
Nobody's complaining about $1 million.
Yeah. No, $1 million. Yeah. You put those many zeros behind it, and then kind of satiates everyone, I guess.
For sure. Thanks again, Case.
Thanks a lot.
A couple of cool Strip news items this week. Lady Gaga returns to her Park Theater residency this week with Enigma and Jazz and Piano shows starting on Thursday and continuing through June 15th. Brian Newman is the trumpet player and singer who has been the band leader for her Jazz and Piano shows, and he's going to start playing some late night stuff at the Nomad restaurant at Park MGM this week, Thursday through Sunday. I interviewed Brian about it, and I'm going to post that story on Las Vegas Weekly's website as soon as I stop yapping into this microphone. But it sounds like a super cool show because he's all about splashing a little bit of rock and roll and some more modern influence into jazz music. He's a big fan of the retro lounge scene that Las Vegas casinos used to be known for, and he's going to try to bring back that classic vibe a little bit. Also, these shows start at 11 p.m. in the Nomad restaurant, not the Nomad bar that has been doing live entertainment pretty consistently since the first of the year. The restaurant space is super dramatic and just stunning. It's a two-story library full of real books, very different from any other space on the Strip. If you haven't gone to eat there, you probably haven't had the chance to check it out. So take advantage of this unique opportunity. And there's a pretty good chance that Gaga's going to stop by at some point. She used to perform with Brian in bars and cabarets in New York City before she hit it big, before she was Lady Gaga. So I'm betting she can't wait to dip in and do a song or two. It's called Brian Newman After Dark, Nomad Las Vegas at Park MGM this week. And then back at the Link, which we keep talking about because it keeps adding new things, an experiential casino space and bar Rematch opened quietly earlier this month, and it looks pretty wild. It's an indoor-outdoor bar on the first floor of the Link Casino, looking out onto the Strip, which is not unusual at all, but it has all these tech flourishes. It has virtual sea life, thanks to these screens surrounding the bar. There's free games that pop up on those screens and incorporate other elements of the Link, like catching falling money from FlyLink zipline riders. There's a DJ booth that can coordinate and synchronize musical performances along with different stages in the Link Casino. There's traditional video gaming and table games at Rematch, but there's also holographic gaming and virtual reality bays. So Rematch is a very tech-heavy destination, and I think it kind of tells the story of where Caesars is trying to take the Link. If you thought it was a party casino where younger people will go and hit the pool and eat Guy Fieri food, yes, that's it. It does that. But it's also kind of trying to be the cutting edge of technology and gaming. It started this trend last year with the new sports book that's just called The Book. And now Rematch takes it even further. I'm going to go check it out this week. I'm excited to see if it lives up to its very cool-looking hype. Okay, what is taking over the Strip this week? The JCK Annual Trade Show opens Friday at the Sands Expo and the Venetian. It's only the biggest annual event for the jewelry industry. This year they're expecting 35,000 attendees through Monday and 2,300-plus vendors, nearly 10,000 different retail stores showing off all their shiniest stuff at this huge jewelry event. On the entertainment side of things, I feel like Celine Dion is taking over the Strip. We are now in the final weeks of her iconic show at the Coliseum, May 29, May 31st, and then June 1st, 4th, 5th, 7th, and 8th, and that's it. Kanye West and Kim Kardashian came to Vegas just last Saturday to see Celine. I bet that kind of celebrity attraction is just going to continue for these final shows. I'm going to the grand finale on June 8th and I promise to give you a full report here and at LasVegasSun.com. And in yet another different way, a construction project is taking over the Strip this week. Clark County waited until the very busy holiday weekend was over to begin installing 5,000 more steel bollards along Las Vegas Boulevard. Those are the, you know, the big posts on the sidewalk that would prevent a vehicle from leaving the street, driving up on the sidewalk where thousands of pedestrians walk the Strip every day. The extension of the project should be done by the end of July. They're going to be installing the posts here and there from Sahara to all the way to the Welcome to Las Vegas sign south of Mandalay Bay. So while that's happening for the next 2 months, definitely expect some lane shifts and closures on the Strip. Hopefully it won't be too much of a disruption. The construction hours are planned for 2 a.m. to 10 a.m. on weekdays. My one big show this week is Christina Aguilera, The Experience. It's the newest headlining residency at Zappos Theater at Planet Hollywood. It opens on Friday, 31st, continues Saturday night, and then she has six more shows throughout the month of June. I wrote all about this show and kind of what it means for Vegas for this week's edition of Las Vegas Weekly Magazine, so go check that out. I'm going to see her on Saturday night, and then hopefully I'm going to get a chance to interview Christina Aguilera on Sunday. So tune in for next week's show, where I hope to be able to share some of that conversation. And of course, you know you can find more weekend entertainment options this Friday and every Friday with my Best Bets column at LasVegasSun.com. That's it for this episode of The Sun on the Strip. Please, please check us out on Apple Podcasts. Give us a real quick rating and review. Tap some of those stars. It only takes a second, and it will help The Sun on the Strip get noticed. I truly appreciate it. You can also listen to past episodes on our site, as well as The Sun's several great sports podcasts with Case and his crew at LasVegasSun.com/podcasts. Thanks again to Case Kiefer. Thank you so much for listening. Catch you next week.